on planet, making sense of it all.
Got a cheese bar house, an old 7 suit, and a cheese bar blonde, but I'm not cheese blonde.
So many Christian labels, Christian bands, Christian music in this weird little Christian bubble in America. Like, who's heard of Tim Hughes that isn't a Christian? Do you know what I mean? No one.
I mean, I'm a Christian.
Is that
yeah. I'm a musician.
Yeah. So we have, I think, Christian bands.
You get Christian music. Oh, sorry. Christian music two sort of ways. One which is more of a worship side for, like, inclusive sort of listening to, and one which is sort of like subtly evangelizing to the world, so, like, being out there, being known, but also having the underlying, like, so it's quite mainstream, but also has the some of the lyrics and some of the meaning behind it, and sort of like a positive role model, one that can sort of hold up in the sea, like.
So what groups Christian groups have made it in the mainstream?
Oh, there's tons of, like, in the underground scene, not, yeah, like, I don't mean like popular music, but there's a massive Christian hardcore scene.
But they are Christian.
Yeah, because I remember seeing them when they first started at Greenbelt, which is a Christian arts festival, and my wife and I were there many, many years ago, and I think they were quite, because they came from a house group movement, so they were quite strong, but then he's become the Messiah now, so I suppose he's
always trying to help that. But there's a new wave now of Christian bands that are bands that happen to be Christian rather than being Christian bands, and a lot of them that a lot of young people listen to now, maybe even without noticing.
I think the problem is we're becoming too covert, though. Because, like, let's take a metal band, right, that is a Christian band. Mm-hmm. You won't understand most of the lyrics it's been shouted to, and the only sign that they'll be a Christian is that in the thank yous in their sleeve, they'll say thank you to Jesus. Now, A, who reads the sleeve in depth? Yeah. B, who will read that sleeve and, for example, get saved or really start to think, I want to know? Do you know what I mean? It's almost becoming so covert. I look forward to a time where there will be someone or something or some group of musicians whose music and style will be so unique and new.
I think it has to be more in your face, actually.
Exactly. But they won't be blending in. Yeah. There'll be a new band that will be wow, Christians and non-Christians will both go, these people are brilliant musicians, and that will be the hook.
What band is it that you wouldn't know they're a Christian band until you actually go to their gig?
And then, and then they talk about, Devil Wears Prada, Under Oath. There's a few of them, actually.
What was that called?
The Devil Wears Prada. These are hardcore scenes.
Under Oath.
More hardcore, like Under Oath, hardcore. Wait, hardcore? I think it's the same hardcore. It's like one of these words. Devil Wears Prada. August Burns Red's another one. And at their shows, they often evangelise and, like, just talk about their faith and stuff. And, like, they play at Christian festivals.
What about Delirious?
And Delirious, And also,
Again, Delirious are more in the Christian
world.
Yeah, in the dime. Yeah. Apparently, they reach number 14 or something in the charts, but Radio 1 refused to play them.
That's right, and couldn't get a top of the
pop. Well, with Devil Wears Prada, they once preached and talked about Jesus with a whole at a concert, which was for Satanist band sort of thing, which they were sort of supporting them so they could talk to the fans about Jesus and stuff.
So is it relevant that they're at least at the concerts they're showing themselves to be Christians? But
there's
the vast majority of the audience are on the radio listening to them. Is there anything about their music that someone can actually gain something from?
Who
hears the lyrics of a hardcore
band? To be honest, when people listen to hardcore,
all you can do it as a slogan. You can have it as a slogan that keeps coming back.
Within the music, people listen to it because it's mostly like inaudible. not all of it is. A lot of it is singing, and a lot of it is just contrast. But when you do listen to it, I found with all my friends that listen to it as well, and me, I looked to see what the lyrics are, and then you see some power in the lyrics, especially when once you know it, you listen to it and you can hear the powerful words in it. Especially
it's
like August Burns Red, for example, they have a song called "The 11th Hour," which is basically telling people to be warned and talking about the final days are coming and stuff like that. And it's just like and then the sort of the climax of the song is just the phrase, "Nothing comes between a man and his maker," and stuff like that, and it's just
but these sort of groups, will they make it in the normal secular world, like
these are bands that are doing well, and only a few of them, like majority of their fans would be just mainstream people.
Yeah.
These are bands that own Kerrang! Bands.
And,
are
in bands.
I mean, and you'd be amazed how huge that market is.
I mean,
it's phenomenal.
They sound no different to.
But what about the critics then?
Band.
The average cynical.
The thing
critic.
Is, it makes people
look
more open-minded.
I don't know.
When they be
people,
taking the
people
out.
Do.
Because a lot of them are actually are not.
They get a
actually,
lot of respect for it.
They're
as
not
well.
Actually hardcore believers in the dark lyrics.
Yeah.
That's just what's attracted them, and if yeah. somebody come up with something different, but with the same power of music and stuff.
And it's the band
it'll
it's
be
a whole
contrast for them. Oh, this is new.
That is sort of like a different view on Christianity, a different view on belief in God and like Jesus and stuff like that.
A different presentation.
Yeah, it's just rather than having some old person come up to them in the street and offer them a leaflet to come to salvation.
So this is the relevant
like
expression for this generation.
A shining beacon of light
like
in
John,
a sea
like
of
like Charles Wesley would have been for dark. Charles Wesley in the 19th century with the hymns that he did for that generation. For our generation,
only dangerous, as I said, that we have to make sure that it's subtle. Well, that's the thing. They're making it subtle because they want everyone
well,
to
interest.
So they're making it so subtle that
some people make
you
it
have
subtle.
To go on the internet and look up their lyrics. To find out.
I think, in a sense, this overt stuff is where, you know, but it's got to be overt, clever and overt. It's got to be overt
and
in a way that's powerful.
Yeah.
What do
and
we think
for
of
kids? It's got to be fashionable. It's got to be cool.
It's got to be dressed.
But it's a way which you can associate with them but not really become part of, become worldly sort of thing. Mm-hmm. In the way that. To the way to associate itself with the kids so the kids would understand where you're coming from and associate with them. It depends how far you go to become like accessible to them, like by getting tattoos and getting like your ears, get plugs in
your
ears.
A lot of your bands do that quite well.
They stop at a point where they don't swear and they don't overtly go out of the way to. They also talk about their lifestyle and how they don't do certain things.
Straight edge.
Well, a lot of them are straight edge.
Which means I don't drink.
Don't drink, no drugs, no casual sex sort of thing. Which is a punk movement, which has nothing to do with like religion, but it also ties in well with. And there's a very big growing spiritual, like Christianity, growing within underground scenes.
This is just that genre.
That genre.
Heavy
rock.
Heavy
which can't be the
majority.
Well, it's becoming the majority.
Much larger than
it's
I mean, I'm a director of a little agency that does all metal stuff. I mean, I haven't heard of
Download
Festival, any of
all
that.
Yeah.
But it's massive. Some of the bands are 10,000 a gig and things like that. Pounds
in this country?
In this country, they're coming from Switzerland and America and all over.
Well, there's a website, bandsonfire.com, which is just a list and a resource for like Christian alternative musicians sort of thing, and it has like all the MySpace and places. And if there's any younger listeners out there, which I doubt, and you can bleep that out.
But I'm sure there are plenty of youngsters.
I'm sure there's quite a few forced to listen to it. Hi to all my friends who are forced to listen to this.
Saffron Plan.
Because I remember when I first started listening to Christian music, there were heavy rock groups. There's one called Petra.
Remember that?
Yeah. That was a long time ago.
Striper.
Apparently one of their songs was God Gave Rock and Roll to You. Now, what was interesting, and I'm sort of reading an article here, is someone was saying, okay, rock and roll, what does that mean? What the origin of that expression?
It's
basically is a ghetto term that black people use for premarital sex in the backseat of a car. that's where rock and roll comes from. Sometimes you've got to think about the terminology we use.
But I think what happens with a lot of those things, they have a dark beginning and then the power gets lost. Mm. I always remember watching a TV programme where they harked back to something in the late 50s, early 60s, where this vicar was rallying against jeans.
Rock and roll.
Because people were wearing jeans, and they're like creating a sort of a, you know.
Disgusting.
That's right. That's right, jeans and all that. You know, it was a big thing, a big campaign. But then obviously as time goes on, and then they had him in the audience again now, he's wearing jeans. Because quite a lot of what the devil puts in place loses its power after a little while. Yeah. What God puts in place continues to have its power.
Yeah.
But the devil's tricks have a limited power, they die out.
So you think rock and roll?
I think rock and roll has become something else. Yeah. And as long as you're not thinking about the origin of the word, it doesn't matter. It has no power anymore because it's not thought of as connected with that.
Because some people would say when you trace the history of music back, especially rock music, it would have started off in Africa with voodoo, with the power of the beating of the drums from the sort of pagan influence taken over by the black slaves. Negro spirituals came out of that, which is quite interesting.
Right,
that satanic music could have ended up as Christian music.
That's right.
And then
and
it filters down to jazz.
And then it was taken out of the spiritual side by people like Ray. I mean, I got into spiritual music, well, it's Ray Charles. It had nothing to do with, but the music was still had that power.
Yeah.
The lyrics completely became secular. But eventually, you know, I think the music itself
What I find it really interesting when you compare the music to typical sort of, say, love songs or whatever. In a secular sense, the lyrics are all usually about, you know, sex or love or whatever. In a Christian, it's love for God.
Yeah.
It's just the object of your love. It's different. But
the source of inspiration, because the whole term of the word music.
Yeah.
As in that book,
Music and Holiness.
Music and Holiness. It was in the early 60s. But it was, the word music comes from a Greek word which described all of art. It wasn't just the sound, it was art, visual stuff.
Yeah.
And the word music, there was two words, there was music and there was a musia. Music was art that came from a muse or a spiritual source, and a musia was from man, which you get amusement from.
Museum?
Amusement.
Yeah, muses is someone who inspires.
That's right, it's a spiritual thing. So the idea of music was of a spiritual source, well, not necessarily always a good spiritual source, but it was the difference between music and a musia.
What music is from a muse?
Moose? What's that? What music came from a moose? Yeah, well, there have been some very famous musical mooses over the years, especially in Canada.
An interesting example of both of our topics forming into one, about the idea of characters and about music and about being a Christian, is Alice Cooper.
Yes.
Now, he is a very strong Christian, yet he dresses up as a complete nutter, and
he still does it.
But who saw him as one of their greatest sources? Marilyn Manson.
Yes. Well, I said to him,
quite a nutter,
quite a demonic sort of.
He said in an interview once that Marilyn Manson has said live on TV that he wants to kill all Christians. We can start with me, because he knows that he would never. He said, you know, Marilyn Manson is a carbon copy of himself. He just knows how to push every single button, and that's what he did. He wants. I'd love to see an interview where the two of them speak.
Going back to what you said earlier, Marilyn Manson, is it a character or is it a real person?
I think it's a character informed by his own beliefs.
Yeah.
Mm. And whereas Alice Cooper is a character informed by his own beliefs, but in that he mocks what he's representing. Mm. Now, he's like.
He didn't become a Christian. I mean, he comes from a Christian background. His
father
was a
vicar.
I mean, he's now a very strong Christian.
So what was his conversion story?
Apparently, it was a very very
alcoholic and everything, wasn't he?
Yeah, alcoholic, all that. Yeah. But apparently it was a very, very hellfire and brimstone black preacher. One, he went to some church with his wife one morning, and there was just like a proper, the sort of preacher that would make you cringe, thinking, I don't believe he's saying this. Yeah. Apparently it just really hit home. It was like, wow, this isn't something to just mess about with.
Yeah.
There's some seriousness tagged on the end, and that's what was really hit him, and it sort of changed him pretty immediately. But now he goes out as the character and he changes some of his lyrics and he's even dropped some of the songs. But the aim is to mock what a lot of people think of as being a really good way to live and really rebellious.
I remember seeing him in, was it Wayne's World film?
Yeah.
We went to see him backstage and he was all, about lyrics, perhaps you think music, lyrics, Christian music, it should be more overt and more direct. Now, I'm thinking of this song that I hear about.
Depends whether it's a word.
Well, again, my personal view on that is I think that fire and brimstone is the way.
Really?
And not, yeah.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
not,
it definitely is. Yeah.
And not,
the shock love people.
Not Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's always shock, basis shock, for that. Like, but I mean, I really do think that the fire and brimstone is more acceptable because they're a bigger, stronger.
Like the video, Dad, you said that preacher that preached like already like Christian kids.
Oh yeah, yeah, the youth.
And then he just says, he says something like, "Oh wait, I'm talking about all you."
Yes, right.
I'm scared that a lot of people are going to go to hell, but I'm talking about you, and then it just goes silent. I think shock tactics.
He's risking alienation.
Saying that,
so the people are speaking softly.
Some of that's shocking.
To some people,
there's no one way. There's no one way. There's no one way to teach people.
But if someone doesn't really,
people in different groups, where you've got different denominations, because you.
But if you get a normal person on the street, you couldn't care less. The last thing they want is any sort of preaching. No one walking down the road wants to be judged. They just want to get on with their life.
I think people have moved on perhaps from street evangelism in that old sense. But through music, perhaps different. Perhaps Howard's right. There's been too much of the wishy-washy stuff.
That stuff just gets
doesn't get through.
Well, there's a time and a place for that.
There is a time and a
there
place
is some
for that
people
sort of
there's
on Premier Radio.
You don't replace all that. You know, you don't necessarily replace it.
Don't mock your masters.
Sorry, I'll get
don't mock your employer.
Yeah. Sorry.
You pay
don't say you work for.
Don't bite the hand that feeds you.
I like the ideas of stories, right? Like, some of the songs I've written recently, they're stories with really horrible endings that make a point. Like, there's one of the songs is about a guy that has a one-night stand and he ignores her, and then he switches on the TV and she's killed herself. And the message of the song is, don't mess around with girls after one night because you really don't know what kind of mental state they're in and you really could end up screwing someone over without realising it. And people listen to it and they're having a nice little dance and they hear the last verse and it's like, you know, what? This girl's killed herself?
Maybe there's a parallel with what you said about stand-up comedy, in that perhaps people can write music lyrics in character, and to try to get a story across like that, with a proper ending, and then to make people think.
Yeah.
You know, similar to how Borat worked as well, you know, just working on two levels. I suppose as long as the sound of the music is good, production
The vehicle's got to be in good shape.
But then, of course, then
it's got to be polished.
Worry about who is going to promote it.
But you underestimate how hostile an audience can become once they realise that who they're watching or who they're listening to is a Christian.
But to be honest, my view is if you've got an audience of 200 people, and five of them get the message.
The thing with like the bands like that,
because you're going to get that from the other 195 anyway.
They have such good musical value that it gets people listening to them, no matter what they're trying to like tell them through the lyrics.
Well, did you see that TV thing? What was it about? They had two groups.
Punk girls. Yeah, there was the Christian one.
The Christian one, and the other one was a real sort of like
punk rock, bisexual, and the Christian band were a band.
But the girl who was
actually the one with the grindcore one I showed you. That sort of
that one guy there.
And the girl in the paparazzi whore who was actually into all sorts of things.
Yeah, and then she went to the concert and she got
that on television.
Yeah.
It was on BBC. What was it called? I watched.
It was a series of programmes. Yeah. There was one opposite. Yeah.
I can't remember what it was called. It was. I remember it. It was like a collaboration.
It was on BBC Three. And the Christians came from a school called Nexus, which is like a music school. Which actually I've met loads of people from recently, just randomly. And apparently it's a really good place. It's just like a year gap year. I don't think many people have achieved anything through it. Does that make sense? You go there, you have a good year, you get good at your instrument, you learn a bit more about Jesus, then you leave. But this one band stuck together and have been doing gigs
singing
and
with
stuff
the,
like that.
Singing with the Enemy, sorry.
That's
one.
Right.
Singing with the Enemy.
It was very good. I saw it a couple of times, or twice.
It was good.
So do you think that's what you need? We need to have Christian bands that are willing to meet in the middle a bit more.
Well, I think non-condemnatory about other people with an opposite view, but being very open about what they believe.
I think the key to it is you've always got to be open.
And non-condemning.
Because you've always got to be overt as to where you're coming from. There's people going to find out. In the internet age, you can't hide anything.
Yeah.
So if you're a Christian, then you might as well tell them up front.
Yeah.
You know, and then... impress them by the standard
of To be honest, being a Christian now in some genres is like a sort of thing they wear as a badge of pride sort of thing. It's
badge of honour.
Rather than something they would cover up, now it's something
not
that they would...
Not in this country. Not in the UK, I would have thought.
Well, a lot of things, maybe mostly America, but it's starting to change quite drastically. Mm. It's starting to become more of a... I don't know whether it's more of a marketing tool, if anything, but... It's starting to come through.
I think
it's something that bands feel that they can do within their community, like wear these T-shirts because they feel comfortable being this bombastic Christian band. But in the outside world, that same band will be received totally differently, say in England.
Yeah.
So it depends, you know, the community where you live. If you feel comfortable being an outlandish... overtly creepy.